The 554th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pickup for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Hi, ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 554 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's dedicated to Abu Dhabi, not the place, the person on YouTube who enjoys our show. Thank you for commenting and watching. I am your host, Jeff, in the year 2000, Fox, and thank you for coming to the episode. We've also heard everyone's comments. You love small talk off the top, and you love when we talk about ourselves. So that's what this episode's going to be all about. Actually, it's a recap episode. So what do you want from us? And guess what? We did amazing last night with our picks, especially me. I beat Gumby by one pick again to increase my lead on the year. But he'll tell you that there's still time. He'll tell you that maybe he'll complain about a judge's decision. Who's to say?
No, I think actually, decisions. Yeah, they're my friends today.
they broke in our favor last night for sure. Let's bring in the man himself, Daniel Gumby Reel, and we both had a good night with our picks. Hello.
Yeah, and last night was an MMA gods giveth kind of night. Not a ticket away. So props to them. And I think the one pick you had separate with me was you had Karine Silva, right?
Yeah.
She looked really good. I mean, we'll obviously get to that fight in a little bit, but I will say, you know, I don't necessarily think Ariane, what we call it, Ariane Da Silva now.
Yeah, she's changed her name to, she's Da Silva now, yes.
Da Silva. So Ariane Da Silva, I don't think she looked all that much worse. I just think she got taken off her game, which is pretty damn impressive by Karine. So, good call on that one. I don't know. It was kind of a fun event, was it not?
It was, yeah, lots of good. I always wonder whether this is just me being biased because my picks were coming through, but yeah, it seemed to have, we had a lot of finishes, which is always fun, and not a heck of a lot of snoozers, really. I don't think there was any fight that you would really say that fight was boring, would you?
I didn't love JSP versus David Onama. It both didn't go our way and wasn't particularly exciting, but like the main event, and we could probably dig right into this, like the main event did not go my way. I have completely written off Alex Perez coming into this week. And my God, did he look sensational on a short camp. Like, that's a short camp Alex Perez. That's incredible.
Yep, both short notice was Onama was a weight miss. I forgot. But yeah, notice. Oh, Padilla was short notice. So yeah, so both short notice people came through with wins, which is very rare as people who have watched and or listened to the show for a long time know. It's like only a third of a chance basically of that happening. So yeah. And Alex Perez was one of those people. We'll get right to the main event, flyweight main event last night. It was UFC fight night, Nicolau versus Perez at Jamal Hill in Jamal Hill's living room. Was he there? I didn't see him anywhere. No, he let us into his living room.
He's preparing to have a kickboxing match with another kickboxer. So
that's going
to
be fantastic. And yeah, it was, you may know it as the UFC Apex, but Alex Perez knocked out Matias Nicolau. No fluke there. He looked good for the full 7-16 that this fight lasted. So it ended round two, 2-16 into it. Alex Perez with the big knockout blow. It was one of those bad falls for Nicolau. It looked like he's going to like tear his knee apart or something, but I think he seems to be okay after the fact. And Perez got himself an extra 50K bonus for that.
Yeah, I just, and for the record, he won the first two, which is worth noting. All the judges had him winning the first. I had him winning the first as well. So that bodes really well for him moving forward. I mean, like, when was the last time we saw him knock somebody out? I'm going to pull the intern there. He beat Juicy
A. Formiga with leg kicks. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't really count.
He got Juicy. Yeah, that's leg kicks, and that was almost 4 years ago, and it was like late career Juicy A Formiga. And then he got Jose Shorty Torres with punches, but that was a TKO. That was 2018. And then you got to go back to Tachi Palace Fights 19 for his last one after that. Not a ton of knockouts for this dude. And it looked good. And to be fair, his boxing versus Muhammad Wakayev looked good too.
Yep. Yeah, he looked, he didn't win that fight, but he looked good his last fight too. And then this one, and he's fought twice in what, a few months, which is odd for him. So maybe, maybe we wrote him off too. So I think we were right to write this guy off though. Cause he had, he's 32 now, he's flyweight, and he lost what, three straight fights. He hadn't won a fight since 2020, but turn back the clock at least for one night. So we'll have to keep an eye on him going forward. Do you think he can make another run to a title shot, or is it too early to say at this point?
I don't know. It's a weird landscape in that flyweight division right now, especially having lost the fight to Mokaev, who's like the hot prospect who they're trying to shoehorn into a title fight basically anyway, or pretty close to it. And then you got the weird Steven Ersig fight. You have to imagine Steven Ersig wins. They're going to give Pantoja a rematch. Yeah. So then we're talking, there's a lot of time to like decide and see things. But I mean, I think the biggest thing is he's always been a pretty damn good wrestler. And we saw at the end of that fight with Mokaev, he stuffed a lot of takedowns and he looked better on the feet. And now he comes out here looking better on the feet too. So if he's going to be like a sprawler brawler, like, hey, maybe he finds like a renaissance as a different style of fighter.
Yep. Maybe the old dog has some new tricks left in him. So that's two straight losses for Nicolau too, which is not good. He was looking promising for a while there. And then he hit Brandon Roybal. Now he's hit Alex Perez. It's back-to-back knockouts too, which is never good. Even for a younger, he's 31, so he's not super young, but even for a non-old graybeard guy, you don't want to see a guy get knocked out twice in a row, especially a flyweight. That's very rare.
Yeah, and it does, of course, beg the question about his chin and what it's going to be in the future, because as we've said before, it's not just, I'll fight somebody who doesn't hit quite as hard next time. It's degenerative. It's the type of thing that once it starts happening, it never stops. So
it's like you listeners, degenerative, kind of. You're degens, different kind of degenerative. So that was the main event. We did not hit that one, but we hit pretty much everything else, including the co-main event. A big plus 180 dog hit, plus I hit my prop via this fight. I had Bogdan Guskov via knockout. I said his name funny. Plus 230. He was also my underdog of the week at plus 180. So yeah, he made me look good here. He made Ryan Spann not look so good here. this is one of the fights. There was a few times last night where Herb Dean wanted someone to catch a body, and he wanted Ryan Spann to be a victim, and almost. Spam luckily is still with us. He got TKO punches 316 in the second round, but yeah, this fight could have been stopped well before the time that it was.
How much faith do you have in Guskov moving forward? Because for me, you know, he had that god awful fight with Volkan Ozdemir where you're like, oh, this guy's got absolutely bupkis for takedown defense. Then he comes out and fights Zach Pounga, and Pounga just decides like, hey, you know what would be fun with a guy with no kickboxing defense, despite my wrestling? A kickboxing match. And winds up getting knocked out. Spann took him down and took him to task in that first round. And it really made me say like, oh man, maybe Bogdan wasn't the right play here, because like this guy clearly can't wrestle and he just needs somebody who can a little bit. Then luckily Spann was out of gas in the second and just got pieced up. But like, moving forward, is that enough of a concern that I just like, I'd fade him even against like Anthony Smith?
Oh, wouldn't that be a Spider-Man meme fight? It's hard. Yeah, it's light heavyweight, so he could probably go far. He's going to be ranked now, I'm sure. He already beat a ranked fighter. But yeah, unless his plan is to let people wrestle him until they get tired, which is what worked last night. Yeah, he's going to be issues for sure. Definitely not looking good in the grappling department, but he can crack. And like I said, he's at light heavyweight. So who's to say he could be champ for all we know a few years down the line.
That's an absolutely bizarre thing coming from a dude from Uzbekistan who looks like Anthony Smith, that is his deficiency is grappling.
But it definitely is. Yeah. Laid very, very clear last night. Yeah. And Ryan Spann disappointed as per usual, which is,
He didn't disappoint me. I picked him to lose.
So. Yeah, as did I, as I told you off the top. But yeah, got himself a little tired from all that grappling, and then got himself knocked out multiple times on the feet. Here's the fight that I got right. This is the only fight Gumby and I differed on, and luckily my girl Karini Silva came through, women's flyweight. Karini Silva versus Ariana Da Silva, Knee Lipsky. She changed her name professionally after we had recorded our episode, but that doesn't matter. She looked like the good old area Lipsky in there regardless, but she got herself beat 30, 27, 29, 28, 29, 28. Karina Silva so difficult on the ground. And obviously dangerous on the feet as well. But yeah, her ground attack is something else. And I had her at minus 148.
Yeah, and you said you were waiting for me to put a positive spin on the fight where I differed. This was my prop of the week, was this fight go to decision, which for some godforsaken reason was plus 140. I don't know what the books were doing on that one, because to me, not that Karina didn't threaten, right? Because she did threaten with a lot of submissions and stuff like that. But it was never serious enough for me to really worry about that. I didn't even really sweat. So, yeah, and as I mentioned on the top, Karina looks really sharp in pretty much every avenue. Even her striking looked great. So I'm looking forward to seeing her make a run up the flyweight ranks.
All right, what's happening next? She's ranked already. She just beat another ranked fighter. Do you have any names to throw at her next?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to throw at you the names that I always throw at you.
Yeah.
Like you want her to fight one of the divisional graybeards, right? The Andrea Lee's, the Lauren Murphy's. You know, Lauren Murphy's a little higher up than Andrea Lee, but I even think she's ready for Lauren Murphy. Joanne Wood retired.
Andrea Lee still is employed. I see she has a fight booked already too. So interesting.
Who's she fighting?
Let me see. I thought I saw she had a fight booked. Let me see. And what's going on with your girl Laura Murphy?
I don't know. I haven't seen her in a minute. Which is weird because I see her, like, she's posting training stuff once in a while. So but like that would be a good matchup for Karina, right? It's like,
yep,
see if you can propel her up the rankings, or you know, like Viviana Arroyo or something, like, you know, one of those people who's been at the top of the division. Caitlin Chookagian.
Yep.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Andrew Lee is fighting Montana De La Rosa, another fighter who inexplicably is still around in the UFC as well. So maybe this is a loser leaves town match.
Yeah. So maybe not Andrew Lee. Maybe I misspoke with Andrew Lee, but somebody like Chookagian or Lauren Murphy.
Yep. Works for me. So yeah, interesting. And she's got more knockouts than submissions. So it's not like she's just a grappler either, which is makes her very, very interesting. And she's got good hair too, which is always important. All right. Heavyweights. We got this one right. Jonata Denise, slow motion knockout over Austin Lane. This is basically a Bogdan Guskov fight at heavyweight. Lane, we didn't think he was going to do this, but he grappled.
Which
made me nervous. Like, oh man, that's not good. He's grappling, for crying out loud. And he dominated the first round via his grappling, but then the second round he seemed to be tiring out, because grappling is tiring, even if you're the one on top. And Denise was so much better on the feet, which is what we expected to happen, because he's a world-class kickboxer. Knocked him out with punches. Like I said, a lot of punches, and then it was a slow motion fall down. Kind of like a big tree falling down in the forest, and we were there, so we heard it. Round two, 212 into it. Denise took care of business.
I don't even think necessarily that Lane got tired here. I think that one was mostly Denise just like made the modification of being like, oh, he's going to shoot a takedown, just don't let him get on my legs.
Right.
Which actually probably bodes better for him moving forward. Cause again, you know, we asked that question about Bogdan Guskov. You know, I think Ryan Spann was clearly tired, and I think Guskov was just stronger and had better cardio. I don't know that that's the case with Denise, and it's nice to see that he like sort of made an adjustment there.
Yep. Definitely we have to proceed with caution picking him, depending on who he fights, because if Austin Lane is going to dominate him on the ground, then yeah, there could be some issues going forward. Do you have any ideas who you want Denise to fight next? He's another guy, it's heavyweight, so it doesn't matter that he's turning 33 in a little over a month's time or 2 months.
No,
time.
He's young for heavyweight.
Yeah. Do you have an idea?
I just want him against like some of the sloppier, not so great heavyweights right now. You know, like he could fight let's see, not like Chase Sherman or Jared Vandera, but like, you know, somebody a touch better than that. I'm trying to think. Hey, Dontale Mays won earlier on the night.
That's true.
You can give him a Dontale Mays.
Yep. The timing adds up, and Mays probably wouldn't try to grapple him. So yeah, works for me. Another thing that works for me is Underdog Fantasy, and it should work for you too. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing the pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun, especially if you win. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada, the famous state of Canada. If you want help with it, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We have articles, daily articles. Gummy and I write the majority of them, giving you suggestions on who to play in various sports and Underdog Fantasy. But the app is pretty easy to use if you look at it yourself. And like we said, it's available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they've also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So if you're not, if you're in Florida and you're not busy wrestling gators, you can get in on some Champions. So make sure you sign up with our code MMASGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN. That's the important part. Make us look good. And it's a win-win for us all that way. All right. Speaking of win-wins, Gummy and I are win-winning all our picks. Bad transition because we didn't win-win this one. We lost this one. David Onama is a cheater, though. We didn't know he was going to be a cheater and come in heavy. 148.5 pounds for a featherweight fight. I don't know where he's hiding that weight. Definitely not in his legs, but he's hiding it somewhere. He's a thin featherweight as it is, but came in overweight against Jonathan Pierce, but put on a very good performance in a pretty entertaining fight. It was Onama 29-28. He crossed the board, did good. We wanted Pierce to lean into his grappling, which he pretty much did, I guess, but got a little sloppy on the ground. And or Onama is a better grappler than perhaps we thought previously, because Onama was doing a very good job reversing positions and keeping himself safe on the ground. And he was more dangerous on the feet. So no problem losing this judge's decision, because I think it was the right decision. So
yeah, I think it was the right decision too. I'm a little bit disappointed because we said that we really thought Jonathan Pierce's wrestling would be enough to win this. And I think it was. It was weirdly his top control that let him down, and his inability to put in hooks in a meaningful way. Like I've never seen somebody's body triangle be so easy to turn into.
Yeah. He got his body triangle reversed and then Onama was in mount. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah. He just kept getting his body triangle reversed too. Like, it wasn't like it happened once and you're like, oh, he didn't cinch it up right. Or, you know, maybe it slipped, you know, you could have come up with an excuse if it happened once, but it happened like three or four times. And I just kept being like, well, why does he keep going to the body triangle then? Put your hooks in, or, you know, like, there's a lot of different ways to take back mount. And like, it just kept being very odd to me that he was losing all of these positions. So, you know, his wrestling held up like we thought it would, but it unfortunately, he got let down in a different way.
Yeah. Nama looked pretty good. If he's going to be able to grapple to go along with his dangerous strike, and then, and he was way quicker on the feet too. And then
he is still giving up his back a lot though.
It's true.
You know, I know people were singing his praises because he reversed a lot of positions and stuff.
Yeah.
Daniel Cormier kept being like, yeah, he's not going to be able to do these reversals in the third round. And in the third round, he's like, he's still doing these reversals. And yep. It's like, yeah, I know, dude. But like, yeah, I don't know how good they are. I don't know how sustainable of a game plan that is to give up your back seven times in a fight and continue to reverse it. Especially they're at a really tough division for grapplers, right? Featherweight has got some dudes in there that can grapple. So, he looked good in that he beat Jonathan Pierce, which is not easy to do, but I don't know. I'm tentative on him moving forward too.
Yep. Very, very true. And then in the opener, Juris Medic, big, quick work. Well, not quick. Yeah, quick work, actually. It was only 2 minutes. 209, knocked out Tim Means with punches. Pretty nasty knockout for Juris Medic. We had Medic at minus 235. Had a feeling. Young, powerful striker going up against the old guy with a lot of wear on his tires. So we had a feeling this could happen. Wasn't sure. Means is pretty tough, so it's hard to say that he's going to get knocked out, but that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm maybe surprised that it happened quick, but I'm not surprised he got beat. You know, he's not as fast. He's not as sharp as Medic, and Medic looked real good in there.
Yep, definitely did. So that was the main card. I got 4-6. Gumby had 3-4, went 3-3. So I was 4-2. Gumby was 3-3. Prelims, Victor Henry. This one went the way we hoped. Not the first round so much, but and boy, does Dominic Cruz love himself some Hany Yaya. Boy, he was singing his praises, talking about his amazing grappling the whole time. Victor Henry, basically, it was elder abuse from the second round onward, basically. Mercifully, the ref stepped in eventually. TKO, head kick and punches, 236 into the third round. I don't know if we really learned much in this fight.
No, I mean, Victor Henry, like I said, good catch wrestler, up against a guy who pretty much only has jiu-jitsu. You know, like, as much as I love Haniyaya, and maybe not as much as Dominic Cruz, but I love Haniyaya, he's really a one-note fighter at this point in time. And his striking maybe looked a touch better, but how much better is it going to get at 39?
Yep. Yeah, not much, I would say. He's got cool hair, though. I'll give him that.
Cool hairs?
Yes, hairs. All right. We were gifted the next fight, and it was a nice gift, a plus 150 gift. It was a close fight. It wasn't a robbery by any means. Lightweight Austin Hubbard, very fun fight against Mikhail Figlak. Figlak looked very good, despite being off for what, almost 2 years, and we had question marks about him to begin with. But he got himself beat 29-28 across the board. But yeah, I don't know if Austin Hubbard really won this fight. Seems most of the online folks think it was Figlak's fight.
Yeah, for me, I watched that fight and I was like, hey, there's a chance the refs or the judges screw this one up. I was thinking, you know, Austin Hubbard had some grappling going in round one, could have possibly stole it. I was looking around on Twitter after round one ended, and there were a couple of people saying Austin Hubbard. So I was like, I don't know, maybe. I don't think he won that third round, but I was like, oh, you know, he had his grappling moment in there, and he landed a couple of big shots. Like, maybe a judge could be swayed, and I'd only need two of them to be swayed to give him that third round. So then when I heard the judges, and all of them gave him 29-28, I was like, well, that's weird, because I don't think... Yeah. And then did you see the judges' score? Did you see the scorecards come out?
No, I didn't see.
Every judge gave him the first and the second. Mikhail Figlak was drawing dead going into the third round. Huh. He didn't know it. Like, he needed a stoppage, and there's no way he thought he needed a stoppage, because he clearly won the second, in my opinion, and had a decent argument for round one as well. So, you know, if that's me and I'm Figlak, I think I'm up 2-0, and at worst 1-1. And then, you know, you go in there and have a pretty good round and find out that, you know, there was no chance for you. It's crazy. The books had plus 380 at some places after round two, in favor of Figlak. And it just, he would have needed a knockout, which is crazy.
It definitely was. Yeah. So odd.
The MMA gods give it. Though.
Yes. Yes. For the most part, a good night. I don't think Herb Dean had a typical Herb Dean type night last night. What was the fight where, who was it that groin and need the dude in the groin back, like within seconds back to back? It was Ryan Spann, I think.
Yeah.
To Bogdan Guskov. And then,
Yeah.
So he Spann does a foul, and then he gives him back his position after he stops the fight. Again, and then he fouls him again. Immediately, he does the exact same foul again, and he got himself a warning instead of having a point taken away, which just drives me nuts. So, anyhow, that's not a Herb Dean specific issue. That's a worldwide issue in this hero sport. You can foul as much as you like, and I don't even think he gave him a stern warning, Gumby, like he likes to say.
Final super secret warning.
Yeah, super. All right, before I move on, before I complain more, we're going to tell you about the football contest proxy that we are advertising to you. Thinking of entering the Circa Survivor or Circa Millions contest, but don't live in Nevada? No problem. It's very easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks for you each week for your chance to win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then just submit your picks to your proxy. We've partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use the promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off the proxy fees. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com. Promo code SGP to get $50 off for all your proxy needs. All right. Heavyweights. Gumby mentioned Dontell Mays winning, and we had good Dontell Mays. Took care of Kyle Machado, 29-28 across the board. It was nothing but fives. His button was stuck on left uppercuts, and that's pretty much all Dontell Mays was throwing in the fight. Occasionally he threw a right jab occasionally, but yeah, it was basically spamming uppercuts, and it was enough to win because this is heavyweight.
Yeah, and I saw some people question whether or not Mays did enough to win this fight. I saw some people wanting to score it for Machado. I like Machado a lot, but the problem with him at heavyweight is I just don't think he throws hard enough that any of his striking convinces a judge that he's winning. You know what I mean?
He wasn't able to back off Mays at any point in the fight with any of his striking.
No,
right?
I think anytime he hits somebody, they're just like, okay, and I'm going to keep coming forward, and now I'm going to hit you. Yeah. You know, like that's kind of what happened when he fought Mick Parkin, and it happened when he fought Dontel Mays. It's just like it's a question of power. And if you're not going to get him to the ground and use your ground and pound and submissions, and because he's got good subs, but if you're not going to use that part of your game, your volume has to be like 30 times higher than it is, because clearly the power is not swaying the judges.
Yeah. Why didn't he didn't even shoot one takedown? He was,
I mean, there might've been something in there, but you're right. Since he's been in the UFC, it's been a lot of his boxing, and I don't know why he has a lot more faith in it right now, because like his bread and butter on the regional scene was like submissions. Like even from Mount, he was the type of guy who like did a spin around armbar on Mount, and like that's not a common submission attempt, particularly for heavyweights, but like it worked for him. I don't know why he got away from that.
Yeah, interesting. Your last name is Machado. Come on, grapple. Kyle Machado. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Mays looked particularly good. He's pretty much looked like, he didn't look like a lord, that's for sure.
He looked just regular Kong.
Yeah, regular Kong. Exactly. There's a good title. Catlin Souza, I wouldn't really say she looked good either, but we had her, and she was my, no, actually she wasn't. She was, we had her both at -335. I was thinking she was my lock, but she was not. She took care of Marduk Man. Marduk Man, not cut out for this UFC thing, I don't think. Just too small. And yeah, I kind of was feeling sorry for her in there, because I usually don't feel that way. But yeah, it's like, you shouldn't be in there. You're getting pieced up on the feet. But luckily, Caitlin Susan did not put her foot on the gas and try to really put her out of there. So 33-7 across the board. I wouldn't say this was impressive for Souza, because like I said, she didn't really have that killer instinct. It seemed she should have put this fight away.
Yeah, I mean, she looked as good as she looked in Invicta. Would you like to see a little more? Yeah, maybe. But also, yeah, like, why risk it when you're, like, very clearly winning? And on the Marduk
Man, what's Man going to do, though? Man's not going to knock you out. You're able to – you should
– oh,
should,
she got takedowns, though. Like, if you watched her regional stuff, like, her wrestling's pretty good. I don't think she was going to wrestle Caitlin Souza. But again, like, what's the gain here from Souza? If Souza comes forward and gets, like, a standing TKO, Dana White's not giving her a bonus. She gets the same two paychecks. Might as well just, like, coast to that second paycheck. And I also want to come to the defense of Marduk Man here, too. I don't think she's good enough to fight at strawweight in the UFC.
No. No,
but I do think that if the UFC had an atom weight division and she could fight down there, we might be singing a different tune about her. Because yes, her striking isn't great, but I've seen her grappling play up on the regional scene, even at strawweight. And like, we're basically forcing some of these women to fight in a division that they don't really belong in. And at 5 foot tall, really, she belongs at atom weight.
Yep, definitely. We've long said we need atom weight in the UFC, but I don't think Man's going to stick around to see that come to fruition, even if it will someday. I have a feeling she's going to be bye-bye. And once again, yellow caution light for Caitlin Souza going forward too. So, but she looked fine. Like, she dominated the fight. Catchweight fight, Taco Padilla. Chris Taco Padilla missed weight, but that's okay. He took it on short notice, so I will forgive him. I won't call him a dirty cheater here. And he broke the odds. Short notice, debut, and missing weight. Everything against him here, but Gumby said it, even though we both picked his opponent James Wontop in the fight, Gumby said that, you know, Taco Padilla is someone to keep an eye out on, and the odds were too skewed out of his favor, and Gumby was right. I guess Wontop basically was, I think he was winning the fight in my eyes until he got himself caught, and boy, he got himself caught. Rear naked choke, Chris Padilla, 4:33 in the first round. Padilla in tears after that. It was a nice scene to see. He was very appreciative of being in the UFC, and looks like he's going to be, at the very least, an exciting fighter going forward.
Yeah, and it's what I said about Padilla too, is you're right. Maybe Wontop was winning that, but I said, I can't get behind those odds at, you know, 4-1 or whatever it was, because Padilla is a gamer, and that's literally what he showed in this fight, is that he's like, he's so tough. He's willing to fight his way through it. I'm excited to see what he can do with a full camp.
Yep. Very, very good stuff. All right. What do we got next here? We hit that. No, we didn't hit that one, but that's okay. We don't mind. Ivana Petrovic, my big gutsy lock of the week at -470. I think I just did that because I don't like Leanne Na, because she made me look dumb. Petrovic almost got the TKO on the ground, which we thought could happen, because that's how Liang Na loses all her fights in the UFC, but ended up getting the arm triangle choke, 129 into the third round. Liang, I guess, looked better this fight. She actually grappled a bit, but Petrovic, after a slow start, turned it around and basically dominated wherever the fight went.
Yeah, it's a classic Na Liang fight because she just can't fight for more than 2 minutes. You know, like for 3 minutes, she looked good, maybe. She got that body lock and went for the takedown and looked like she was, you know, maybe fix some things. And then her cardio just fails her. and she looked real bad. So, yeah, not much to say there other than that's got to be the last chance for Dragon Girl.
Yeah, four losses, finishing all of them. Bye-bye, Dragon Girl. The opener. This was a bit of a nail biter for us, Gumby. I was like, I should have picked Benitez. Like, even though I really had no reason to pick him, Mahashate ended up coming through. More a issue of Benitez looking, and Gabriel Benitez looking better than we expected. It's not like Mahashate looked bad in this fight, but won a split decision, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. I think the right person won. Mahashate is still very young, but you know, very promising still at lightweight because of his size and his skill set. But yeah, Benitez gave him all he could handle here.
Yeah, he's got to move his head more, is the bottom line. Because, like, that helps, you know, when we broke down the fight, I said he moves forward enough to back Mowgli up against the cage. The problem with Mowgli in late in his career is that he just backs up to the cage too much and then gets into a brawl with, you know, his back literally against the wall is where he gets into a brawl. And like, that's not going to work against very many people in this weight class. But if it's going to work against somebody, it kind of works against somebody who doesn't move their own head as they're backing you up. So like, you know, he saw some moments of success here, but I don't know that I have any hope for Mowgli moving forward here. Cause he just keeps doing the same wrong thing. And I think people who even have better striking defense than Mahashate are going to have an even easier time picking him apart as they walk him down.
And he's old too, which doesn't help either. So, yep. All right, no fight of the night bonus. Alex Perez, Bogdan Guskov, Jonata, Deniz, Juros Medic all won the 50K for performance of the nights. I won the honor of winning the night over Gumby. I went 10-3, up $400. Gumby went 9-4. No shame there, up 233. On the year, I'm up to 60%, which is where I want to be minimum, which is good. I'm still down 0.8% return on investment. So I'm almost breaking even again. Gumby up to 53%. He's down 13% ROI, but
they're still done.
Yes, exactly. We killed it with our locks, dogs, and props. Gumby missed Matias Nicolau as his favorite, but he had Hubbard as a lock. He had Lipsky Silva to the decision as his prop. They both hit. I had Petrovic. I had Guskov via knockout. So I swept the board there with my three fancy plays. And half of the Hungry Man John came through as per usual. So that was a pretty entertaining fight night. And we're off to pay-per-view time. UFC 301, aka Not for the Casuals, is what I think this fight card should be called. I'll break it down with you. Gumby probably has a positive spin on it somehow, right?
I think it's fun as hell. I like this card. Yes.
But like I said, Not for the Casuals. People aren't going to like pack the bars to watch this fight card, I don't think, right?
No, probably not.
All right. We got another flyweight, back-to-back weeks, flyweight main event. So we're not complaining. Us the hardcores aren't complaining about that. It is for the flyweight heavyweight championship. This is a UFC 301, Pantoja versus Usyk. That's really what the tag line is for it. May the 4th, Farmacy Arena, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Main event, Alexandra Pantoja, the champion at flyweight against Steve Usyk. Right place, right time. On a nice roll. Co-main event, Jonathan Martinez, another dragon. We just dispatched a dragon girl. Now we have another dragon against Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo, you say, I thought he retired. Yes, he did. But Jose Aldo's back. Jose Aldo wants to get out of his contract. So Jose Aldo has to fight one more time and then he can get out of his contract. So I think that's what's happening here. Plus it's in Brazil. So that's a very unlikely co-main event. Then we got Anthony Smith, Victor Petrino. We just saw Anthony Smith fight yesterday night and he's fighting again. Petrino's kind of Anthony Smith-esque too, bald head.
Is he?
No, I'm thinking of someone else. I'm thinking of another guy.
I think he's there.
He does have hair. You're right. But yeah, it's hopefully he does not attack Anthony Smith's body family. He can attack the body all he wants. Michelle Pereira, Ihor Pachiera, Paul Craig, Kyle Bahio. We like Kyle Bahio. We like Paul Craig as well, but that they expect people to pay for $70 or whatever for that. All right, prelims. Jack Shore, Joe Anderson, Britu, Karolina Kowalkiewicz, Yasmin Lucindo, Elvis Brenner, Miktebek Orlbay, Jean Silva, William Gomi. And then early prelims, Joachim Silva, Drucker Klose. Is Klose going to fight? Hopefully he shows up. Maurizio Ruffi, Jamie Malarkey, Dion Barbosa, Ernesta Karak Kate, Ishmael Bonfim, Vink from Hell, Pachel, Alessandra Costa, Kevin Borjas. All right, Gumby, positive spin, go.
Did you just call him Vink instead of
Vink?
It's Vince.
Yes, I did say Vink though. It's been a long half hour.
Vink would be a badass name.
It would.
I'm excited to see all the fighting nerds, as I am. Mauricio Huffy, Yeon Silva, and Cabo Ohio are all super exciting to watch.
Is Britu a fight nerd as well?
Nope.
Are we going to be talking about his brother soon? Does he have a brother? Another Britu that we're talking on the regional scene? I think he's
no,
a fighting nerd.
Ikaro?
Yeah, that's not a brother.
Ikaro is a fighting nerd, but not brothers with Joey Anderson. Yeah.
Okay.
Different Britu family, but same gym as the other people I was talking about. I also really like Ernesta Karakate from Contender Series. Her fight was maybe the best Contender Series fight I've ever seen in my whole life. So like, it's nice to see her finally making that debut. The main card has intriguing fights. I hope we get to see Jonathan Martinez maybe have that signature moment for himself. Or, I mean, all the Jose Aldo fans out there are probably cussing my name now. But, you know, like you said, he's probably just trying to fight out his contract. I'd rather the young gun get a win on his shoulders than watch him ride off into the sunset happy.
Yeah, but more than likely, Aldo has been surprising us. So who's to say this is by no means a gimme fight for Jonathan Martinez. Aldo has inexplicably aged very well, down a weight class too, which was, we've talked about this numerous times before, but yeah, quite surprising here. So that is the fight card. Like I said, luckily they don't expect us to pay for these things anymore. Right.
Right.
Pay-per-view died years ago, right? They don't charge us $70 anymore for these things. Never. All right. So that's UFC 301. And then after that, we get a heavyweight main event in 2 weeks after that? No, 1 week after that. So fantastic. All right. That's our episode. We're going to be back tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And then we'll take a couple of days off. We got a couple of regional events coming up for you over the next couple episodes. And the man sitting beside me here is virtually a regional MMA picking god. So we will get all that into your eyes and ear holes over the next couple of days. In the meantime, Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter is SGPNMMA. I'm Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on the Instagram as well. Get in my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Check out my stuff there. If you like it, subscribe. At the very least, you can subscribe and enter my free pick'em contest that I run every week for the UFC. Gumby's got Tart Turtle MMA podcast. He interviews interesting people in MMA. We'll put it that way. Not just UFC, all over the map. So listen to that as well. And of course, the mothership is sportsgamblingpodcast.com. If you want to dress cool like Gumby and myself, you can get your gear at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And if you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon and sign up there, it will help us keep the corporate gambling wolves at bay. So we'll be back tomorrow. Cesarevich, that's my name. And the Queen of Violence, Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you then.